Yes, as Alice has said, I'm Dr. Susan Bandies. I'm from Charles Darwin University, which is in the Northern Territory. I've lived and worked in the Northern Territory for over 23 years in all sectors of education in the Territory. And even though I'm from Victoria originally, I get down to Melbourne fairly infrequent, and infrequently enough to always suffer a bit of culture shock. Not just as do I find the weather confronting, but the sheer number of people in Melbourne is also a bit overwhelming. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land. I'd also like to acknowledge my two co-researchers, Professor Don Fuller and Professor Stephen Larkin, both from Charles Darwin University. A large number of people contributed to this project, and probably far too many for me to acknowledge. However, it would be very remiss of me if I didn't acknowledge the assistance of Veronica McClintock. Veronica is an Indigenous woman born in Darwin in the Northern Territory, and she's passionate about Indigenous education. As a matter of fact, she's had quite a remarkable pathway in education herself. She was the first Indigenous registered nurse to work at Royal Darwin Hospital. In the latter years, she went back and undertook some further study, and she undertook a law degree, and she was the first female Indigenous lawyer to practice in the Northern Territory and had quite a long and distinguished career. For this project, when I asked Veronica would she participate, she jumped at the opportunity, and I was delighted because her experience, her knowledge, her empathy made an invaluable contribution to this project. In 2011, my co-researchers and I successfully applied for a research grant through NCVER, and the grant was to investigate the pathways Indigenous students in the vet sector in the Northern Territory take in their transition from study to work. So consequently, we examined the two sectors of the tertiary education system in the Northern Territory, the higher education system and the vocational education system, and we concentrated on the pathways that Indigenous students take from vocational education to higher education. And the project concluded at the beginning of 2013. I'd like to provide you with a context of the Northern Territory because it sort of puts in perspective this project. The Northern Territory, it occupies a geographic area of 1,364,000 square kilometres. It's larger than the combined area of Victoria and New South Wales. It has a population of approximately 212,000 people, or 0.17 person per square kilometre. 54% of the population reside in Darwin, the capital city, and we have a population of approximately 120,000 people. 23% of the population is under the age of 15. 30% of the population is Indigenous. And the majority of the Indigenous population reside in remote or very remote locations. We have one university, which is Charles Darwin University, and it's a dual sector university. In other words, it has both vocational education and higher education provision. And for a long time, it was the only dual sector university that existed outside of Victoria. And CDU, I'll use the acronym CDU in future, we have campuses in Casuarina, which is in Darwin, Nhulunbuy, Tennant Creek, Alice Springs and Jabiru and Catherine. Other than at the Casuarina campus, only vet provision is provided at the other sites. We have one Indigenous vet higher ed provider, and that's known as Bachelor Institute for Tertiary Indigenous Education. And I'll use the acronym as BITE from here on in. At the time of this project, there was approximately 1,759 private vet providers. The Bradley Review of Higher Education provided the policy context for this research project. And the Bradley Review states that from 2010, the supply of people with undergraduate qualifications will not keep up with the labour force demands. To increase the numbers participating, we must look to members of groups currently underrepresented in the system, that is, those disadvantaged by circumstances of their birth, Indigenous people, people with low socioeconomic status, and those from regional and remote areas. The Bradley Review also noted that one potentially significant means of improving access for people from underrepresented groups in the tertiary education system is to streamline the pathway from vet to higher ed. The three research questions this project sought to address were: what is the retention, progression and attrition rate amongst Northern Territory Indigenous students in the vet sector? We also sought to find information out on what is the experience of Northern Territory Indigenous students that transition from vet to the higher ed sector? And can collaboration between the vet and the higher ed sectors increase the educational employment opportunities of Indigenous students in the Northern Territory? We used a mixed methods approach to the research. We collected both quantitative and qualitative data. The quantitative data came from CDU enrolment statistics, both in the higher ed and vet sector, for the period 2000 to 2009. We conducted interviews and we conducted focus groups. And the project occurred across multiple sites. For instance, we interviewed students at Charles Darwin University at the Casuarina campus. We conducted interviews and focus groups with students down at BITE. And these interviews and focus groups, I need to point out, were with residential students who had relocated from a remote communities, regional and remote communities, to undertake their studies. And we also conducted interviews with two private vet providers. The vet providers, one was Alana K. Training, and the Indigenous students from her courses were predominantly undertaking Certificate 4 training. The other private vet provider was CAPS, which stands for the Council of Aboriginal Alcohol and Program Services. And they are a program that runs residential training and residential rehabilitation programs for Indigenous participants with drug and alcohol problems. And they were predominantly receiving Certificate 1 and Certificate 2 training in community services. So what did the data tell us? As this graph indicates, between the period 2000 to 2009, Indigenous students represented, on average, 27.3% of the total vet enrolments at Charles Darwin University. And as you can see in this graph, Indigenous and non-Indigenous enrolments followed a similar pathway. There was an increased number of student enrolments over time, but this increase wasn't consistent. For example, in 2003, the Indigenous enrolment ratio was a low 17.7% of total enrolments, whereas in 2006, it was approximately 37% of total enrolments. Enrolment by age. For the same period, 2000 to 2009, the highest proportion of Indigenous students enrolled at Charles Darwin University in the vet sector were under the age of 29. And as you can see, 41.1% were less than 20 years of age. 28.2% were 20 to 29 years of age. 25.5% were 30 to 39 years of age. And more than 49 years of age were approximately 14% of the total enrolments. Enrolment by gender. So in the decade commencing the year 2000, Indigenous male enrolments constituted approximately 59.4% of all Indigenous enrolments. And of course, female enrolments were in the vicinity of 40.6%. And as indicated in this graph, this enrolment pattern has been consistent over time. And it's in marked contrast to the non-Indigenous enrolment patterns. For the same period, male and female non-Indigenous enrolment were almost on parity, with males representing 52% of the non-Indigenous enrolments and females representing 48% of the non-Indigenous enrolments. Enrolment by course. For the period 2000 to 2009, the vast majority of Indigenous students were enrolled in Certificate 1 and Certificate 2 courses. And as you can see from this graph, 61.5% of students were enrolled in Certificate 1, 30.9% were enrolled in Certificate 2, And as you get up towards a higher end level of courses, the enrolment started to drop off. 14.7 in Certificate 3, Certificate 4, 9.5%, Diploma 7.1%, and at the Advanced Diploma level, the Indigenous enrolments were almost negligible. And this is in marked contrast to non-Indigenous enrolments, which are significantly skewed towards the higher end VET courses. For instance, we have significantly more Indigenous enrolments at the Certificate 3, 4 Diploma and Advanced Diploma level. Completion rates. Low completion rates and high attrition rates are the hallmark of Indigenous engagement in the VET sector. We have the highest completion rate at the Certificate 1 level, with only 52.1% of students completing. At the Certificate 2 level, 24.7%. At the Certificate 3 level, 12.1%, and so on, until you get to the Advanced Diploma, where there was no successful completions. The total completion rate averaged 16.2%, total Indigenous completion rate. And as measured by course completions, non-Indigenous students experienced twice the success rate of that of their Indigenous counterparts. Multiple course enrolments. Multiple course enrolments are a consistent feature of the Indigenous enrolment pattern. Between the period 2005 and 2009, approximately 25% of Indigenous students enrolled in more than one course in any given year. For the same period, 18.6% of non-Indigenous students were enrolled in multiple VET courses. And the reason we think this is that Indigenous students are concentrated in the Certificate 1 and 2 courses, and the duration of these courses is usually only for about 6 months. So after having completed one course, they enrol in a subsequent course at the same level or perhaps at a Certificate 2 level. Fields of study, enrolment and completion and success rates. For the period 2005 to 2009, the highest number of Indigenous enrolments were in the fields of agricultural, environmental and related studies. In this period, we had 1,168 Indigenous students enrolled in those courses. The highest success rates were in natural and physical sciences. However, it should be noted that only one student was enrolled in that and only one student graduated. And this was followed by food, hospitality and personal services. 428 Indigenous students were enrolled, 128 completed their course. The highest attrition rate was in the mixed field programs. 907 students enrolled, 12 completed. There was a total of 5,892 Indigenous students enrolled in this period, and the success rate was 10%. Indigenous engagement in the higher ed sector at Charles Darwin University. For the period 2000 to 2009, there was a total of 280 Indigenous students enrolled in the higher education sector, compared to the non-Indigenous enrolments of 5,825.3 students. Indigenous students represented 4.82% of the total higher education enrolment at Charles Darwin University. And of these Indigenous students, approximately 86.6% were enrolled in undergraduate programs, and the remainder, 13.4%, were enrolled in postgraduate study. And it needs to be noted that these Indigenous students were enrolled in 73 different courses across the university. The most popular courses were nursing, education, followed by law, business, and behavioural sciences. The basis of admission to higher education, and these are actual student numbers, not percentages. And so for the period 2005 to 2009, on average, 29.6 students each year gained admission into higher education on the basis of some previous higher education study. 21.2 students on average gained admission to higher education on the basis of their secondary education results. However, only 16 students in any given year utilise that pathway from vocational education to higher education. Other bases of admission were the tertiary enabling program, but you can see this was quite underutilised, mature age entry and other forms of entry. And some of these other forms of entry included special education, special entry, or special entry particularly for Indigenous students into programs. Undergraduate outcomes. As indicated in this graph, Indigenous engagement in higher education programs was characterised by low graduation rate and a high rate of non-completions. As a matter of fact, there was a 25% completion rate. The remaining 75% either dropped out or were regarded as inactive students. And the majority of the withdrawals occurred during the first year of study. And once again, low graduation rates and high non-completion rates characterise Indigenous engagement with higher education. Indigenous participation and outcomes in postgraduate programs. So the Indigenous participation in postgraduate programs at Charles Darwin University includes graduate certificates, graduate diplomas, masters by coursework, masters by research, and some doctoral programs. However, there's very, very modest numbers of Indigenous students that undertake postgraduate studies at CDU. There's an annual average enrolment of 37 students. And of these students, 46.4% graduate, 44.6% drop out, and 6.7% remain still enrolled. And the data indicates that the trend for students to withdraw from their courses in the postgraduate program is in the second and the subsequent year. The qualitative data, with the wonderful assistance of my co-researcher and support person, Veronica McClintock, we conducted 29 interviews. We conducted 10 of these interviews at Charles Darwin University with both vocational and higher education students. We conducted 9 interviews with students from BITE, and the students from BITE were all undertaking a Certificate 1 or a Certificate 2 in Foundation Literacy, and they were undertaking a residential program. We conducted 10 interviews with students undertaking programs with the 2 private providers, 5 students from each of the providers. We conducted 2 focus groups, 10 students from BITE and 6 students from Charles Darwin University. The interviews were conducted mainly on site at the respective institutions. However, 3 interviews were also conducted over the phone. So demographic information, 48% of the interviews resided in an urban location, 21% lived in a rural area, and 31% were from a remote or a very remote location. And as I've already mentioned, all remote students had relocated to Bachelor to undertake their study. We asked the participants to identify their competence with language. And so these are self-selected responses. 76% said English was the main language spoken at home. For 24%, an Aboriginal or a Torres Strait Islander language was their first language. 80% indicated that they were fluent in English. 3% said they spoke reasonable English. 17% had trouble with English. And 66% of the BITE students either spoke reasonable English or had trouble with English. Work-related requirements were the most commonly cited reason for undertaking study. And in order of frequency and importance, the students indicated that they wanted extra skills for their job or to help me in their job. Second, it was a requirement of their job. Third, to get a job. And even though this was ranked fourth of importance, it was still of significant importance to the majority of the participants. Knowledge acquisition, self-esteem, self-confidence, and for self-efficacy reasons were also highly motivating reasons to undertake study. This is one of the students' comments that probably puts it into context. I had a lame job with a minimum wage. I moved from job to job. I did not earn enough. I wanted to get a good paying job. Can't get ahead in life without a degree. Vet is the first step in education. It's pointless in life, earning a minimum wage. One of the interviewees at Bachelor College, he was an Indigenous man, probably in his 40s. He'd never been to school in his life, and consequently he couldn't read or write. And for most of his adult life, he'd been in some form of employment, but he needed to get some foundation literacy and numeracy to maintain a wage and bring in an income into his family. The quality of the courses. The vast majority of students indicated a high level of satisfaction with the courses they were undertaking. They commented on the quality of the lecturers and the tutors. They also commented on the cultural appropriateness of the course. They appreciated the opportunity to interact with other Indigenous students. And the flexibility of the course was also remarked upon. And in regard to flexibility, a lot of the students were given time to go back home to their communities to attend ceremonies, time away from their course to undertake cultural duties. They were given extensions for assignments when family life intruded and they couldn't complete their courses on time. And one of the students even said that one of the private vet providers picked her up and took her to the class when she couldn't get there and couldn't find transport of her own. The students expressed dissatisfaction with the lack of Indigenous teachers. Most of the sites had Indigenous support workers, but very, very few of them actually had Indigenous teachers delivering the programs. They expressed dissatisfaction with the level of financial support received, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The lack of childcare places, particularly for those students studying at Charles Darwin University, was a significant barrier. At Bite, students were encouraged to bring their family with them, and there was actually childcare places made available. But at CDU, students often, there was childcare centre, but those places filled up very quickly. So students often had to find a childcare centre that was a considerable distance from the campus and then commute daily between the childcare centre and their classes. And also a lot of dissatisfaction, particularly from students at Bite, they felt socially and linguistically isolated. The students participating at Bite were all from different communities. They were from different cultural groups, different language groups. They had different backgrounds and different experiences. Their competence with English, as I've already indicated, was severely curtailed. And often the only common language they spoke was English or Creole. So instruction was in English, and to communicate with other students was also in English or Creole as well. And as I said, frequently they cited that they felt socially and very linguistically isolated. The students identified a number of outcomes in relation to undertaking study. And the outcomes included career and employment category, family and community benefits, and then there was outcomes on a personal level. So outcomes in regard to improved career prospects and employment aspirations. And these are student comments. The employer was impressed by the study I've done, given more opportunity to attack a variety of job options. I gained an increase in wage by having a certificate. The study was helpful in getting me looking for a job. Vet study did help me find work. It helped with reading and writing. I was able to fill in logbooks, accident reports, etc. I obtained computer skills. And Indigenous courses for crane rigging is now the foundation of my full-time employment. In regard to family and community benefits, these were the students' comments. I'm now closer to my teenage son. I can help with homework. I'm communicating better with my mother by talking about issues that could not be discussed previously. Certificate 4 has enabled me to seek medical assistance for my family. I've gained the respect of my wife, my family, and my community. Help me with community meetings as an interpreter when power and water comes. It gives me confidence. And it assisted with filling out forms, speaking to get things done, like family matters. And on a more personal level, these were some of the students' comments. When I retire, I'll be able to use a computer and stay in touch with the world. I have better English. I'm more confident. I can communicate better with other people. Makes me more confident. It's easier to read newspapers and books. I try my best. It makes me feel good. Family feels happy for me. Likes me coming to Bachelor as I can help them back in the community. It's expanded thinking and broadened knowledge and promoted self-confidence. It's helped with self-confidence, inspiring me to study more and to look at the bigger picture. The VET to higher ed pathway. 17% of the interviewees had utilised the VET to higher ed pathway. They were all participating in the first year of an undergraduate program. Some students felt VET had prepared them for higher education. For instance, they cited having gained some important study skills, some important computing skills, and also good time management use. Other students struggled with a higher education workload. They had difficulty finding a work-life balance. They struggled financially. And at Charles Darwin University, in the higher ed sector, there's a big emphasis on online learning, and students found this difficult to navigate. This is one of the students' comments. Money. We need more scholarships, particularly in first year. These scholarships are needed in first year, not in third year of a degree. I struggle financially. Not having any money, I dropped out for 6 months. I got a job, but come back to study. I need to live, to pay rent, to buy food. I got a credit card to make ends meet, but I got into debt. My parents had to pay off the debt. We need accommodation scholarships in first year. I asked this particular student, had he ever thought of moving into the campus, accommodation on campus, the student accommodation? And he said, well, I tried that, but he said, that's too noisy and there's too many parties and it's not very conducive to study. Whereas the opposite was the case at Bachelor Institute. The students commented on that it was a lovely, quiet environment where they were encouraged to study. And as a matter of fact, students commented that it was much quieter there than in their home community. So in one sense, some students liked to come to Bachelor because it provided that supportive environment which they didn't necessarily find at home. So in summary, the VET Indigenous role patterns in the Northern Territory is very similar to those of the national trends. There's proportionately low enrolment numbers, which is characterised by a high male cohort, a concentration in the Certificate 1 and 2 level courses, a relatively young student body, low completion rates, low graduation rates, and high attrition rates. There's limited access for vocational education and training for students in very remote locations. Inevitably, students who want to undertake vocational education and training have to participate in residential short courses. There's students' experience isolation associated with relocating. They're physically removed from their community, from their countrymen, from their cultural group. They're often socially isolated because frequently they're the only person in their community attending that group, attending that course, and they're often, they're linguistically isolated. It was a common comment from a number of the students studying at BITE to say, we need more of our countrymen here at Bachelor doing this course with us. Students require support in the form of tutors and resources, particularly in remote communities. I think the majority of students studying at BITE indicated that they would prefer to study in their home community. They wanted books, they wanted space, and they wanted access to computers as well as tutors to be able to do this. And the challenges of studying VET and higher education at CDU. And as already indicated, a number of the students mentioned financial constraints. They indicated there was a perceived lack of information on the financial assistance that was available. There was a perceived lack of scholarship in the first year of studying in higher education. The cost of childcare was extremely prohibitive. A number of students said that their reimbursement for childcare ceased after the first year of study. So consequently, they were faced with a significant childcare bill. And of course, I've already mentioned the lack of childcare places on campus. So the pathway from vocational education to higher education is a viable option, but unfortunately the biggest inhibiting factor is there's a limited pool of potential graduates at the Certificate 4 diploma and advanced diploma level that can take advantage of that pathway. There's a high level of attrition in first year of undergraduate study, and vet study is relevant to higher ed, but some students did feel unprepared for the academic environment in which they found themselves, and because of the high reliance on online learning at CDU, students required additional computer support. So finally, there's low student numbers in higher ed, Indigenous student numbers in higher ed, and when their students are engaged in 73 different programs across the university, the visibility of these students is extremely low. There's limited research on dual sector institutions and the Indigenous students and the pathways that they can take. However, dual sector institutions are well positioned to close this gap. However, we need closer collaboration between VET and our higher ed, and this has the potential to enable Indigenous students to realise their personal and professional aspirations, to extend the pathways from post-compulsory education to work. However, a concerted effort by all stakeholders is required. All right, thank you.